I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you mother...
Politics, politics. Humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you? Welcome to Art Cop Radio. This is show number 135. It's kind of late, but oh, it might turn out to be a big one. My name's Bart. I'm your sommelier today. Is that a thing or is that a country? Oh, got so much going on. Big, 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 big show. We don't know how many hours the show is going to go. There are about four or something hours in the can so far. And I thought about making it a big, big show, but no, since I'm so late, tardy, you might even say, doing this show, I think what I might make the first hour 135, second hour 136, third hour 137, fourth hour 138, that kind of thing. So if a newbie shows up, they think, damn, this guy's putting out shows every day. He's putting out four shows a week. Cool. But anyway, a lot going on. Got a trip report to tell you about. Got just a whole bunch of politics, you know. This civil war is still going on. We thought we were going to be out of it in February, but they pulled us back in. And then we thought we were going to be out of it March 5th, but then they pulled us back in. And now they're saying we're going to be here till late April, which I don't know. We don't have a guarantee either. Obama's ahead in the delegate count, but if Hillary beats him, whatever, 55, 40, if she beats him at all in Pennsylvania, she's going to claim momentum, but he's going to claim the numbers. So it just keeps going on. Oh, it just could, we don't know how bad this is going to get. I do have a way out of it, though. Well, as a matter of fact, Mark Perkel came up with an idea. Fantastic idea, solves everybody's problem, gives everybody a guarantee of happiness. And I'll tell you what, you get into a deal with somebody where both sides are guaranteed satisfaction. Both sides guaranteed happiness. Everybody's happy. Big smiles all the way around. How can you turn down a deal like that? Full details coming up. But tell you what, this show is so big, I better not give you one of those 15-minute intros. So let's get right to the opening ceremony. Oh, since I talked to you last, I did my taxes too. Let's not talk about that. Let's just say that I'm going to be... I need to get a whole lot more aggressive with what I tell you about. And so I need to tell you about every drop of tequila I drank last year. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, my good friend Pipe, you might have heard me talk about my good friend Pipe, but he sent me a money order and said, go buy yourself some Sammy Hagar Cabo Wabo. And I did. I did as he instructed. So today's taste test is going to be your basic Chinaco Añejo against your Sammy Hagar's Cabo Wabo Añejo. So let's get right to it. Let's see, what should we do first? I think we ought to do the Chicago, hello. I think we should do the Chinaco first because that gives you kind of a baseline because, you know, well, of course, then if the other's not, maybe we'll do the other one first. Okay, we'll do the other one first because if the Chinaco smokes it, then it'll be like an insult to my good friend, the Pipe. All right, here we go. We're going to do a shot of Sammy Hagar Cabo Wabo. Oh, it's got a little thing that pops out, but it's not very tight, you know, I heard Sammy doesn't like it tight. That is very, very fine. Tequila, 100% de agave, Cabo Wabo, Añejo, Jaincho in Mexico. Very, very nice. Got the little wooden top. Nice little shaped bottle. But the taste is everything, and the taste is right there. Too bad Sammy Hagar can't play guitar as well as he can make tequila. And it's not like Sammy sits there and does it, you know. He bought a tequila or a disturber, whatever those are. Is it a tequilaery? Is that what they call it? It's like a distillery, but it's a, when you're distilling agave, it's this tequilaery. I give up. That is fine. If you get a chance to buy Cabo Wabo Añejo, I personally don't think it's as good as the Chinaco, but it's very, as I always said, you get 100% pure agave Añejo. And it's got to be Añejo. The other stuff, remember, it's just to sterilize the instruments, but you get the 100% Añejo, you can't go wrong. I've never tasted 100% Añejo where you can go wrong. I'm going to do a little shot of the Chinaco, so we can get the show started. There you go. That's the sound you're familiar with. Oh, that's nice. That is nice. Sammy, next time you're in Tulsa, come on by. I'll show you what real tequila tastes like. So like I said, we got a multi-hour show, so no sense messing around. Let's get going with the Big Beast Show!
This is www.bartcop.com.
Okay, let's get into some mail. Some of it is monkey mail. Some of it is intelligent asking questions. Some of it is just, I hate Hillary. I got a handful of them. Like to hear it. Here it go. This is from Mark the Lesser Ape. I didn't add that to it. That's what he put on it. This is from Mark the Lesser Ape. Bart, I was a supporter of Hillary when I went to my caucus in February. This is March 5th, so... It took a couple of weeks to turn him. I was starting to waver. You know, what wouldn't hurt, little sidebar here, what wouldn't hurt is if for people would learn how to use, you know, some syntax, some commas, some dashes, some capital letters at the beginning of a sentence, a period, or a goddamn question mark at the end of the sentence. Sometimes, you know, I'm a busy man. I got shit to do. Sometimes I got to read a sentence 3-4 times to figure out what the hell the person meant to say. And people seem to think that writing is like talking, that one word follows another. Well, no, it doesn't work like that. I don't want to have to read a sentence 2-3 times. And sorry to pick on you, Mark the Lesser Ape. But I don't want to have to read a sentence 2-3 times to figure out what the hell the person... When I write, I try to write with commas and capital letters and all that. And you probably have to reread my stuff a couple times to figure out what the hell I'm saying. And I get that. That's just bad communication. But, you know, would it hurt to use a comma or a period? Or people, you know, they'll say something, and they won't end the sentence. There's no period. There's no question mark. And so I got to ask myself, well, where's this guy coming from? Is this a question? Is this a declarative statement? You know, I just have no clue. So if y'all could help me out just a little bit, it would. And I know, you know, this text messaging with, you know, the funny little cute little phrases and all that, that's going to ruin communication in America because you don't know what TTFN means of. What was that one they used on American Idol the other night? Something I don't know, but people have lost the ability to communicate. And if we're going to communicate by text, someone's going to have to learn how to spell. Someone's going to have to learn how to capitalize letters and put punctuation and shit. Sorry, that'll probably be the last time you hear that this segment. Oh, and then the spelling. So I still have not. I was starting to waver, though. It should be, I guess he's saying, I was starting to waver, comma. Though, comma, because of the ham-handed tactics, comma, particularly the racist attacks, and let's be honest, they were not inadvertent, period. Well, no, as I always say, I'll give you $20 if you can diagram that on a blackboard because you can't. A sentence is supposed to have a subject and a verb and then a whatever the other things are called. But people sometimes they just figure if I just put enough words in there and put a period at the end of the sentence, I guess I should thank you for the period at the end of the sentence, but I have no idea. Let's try to break it down. I was starting to waver because of the ham-handed tactics, particularly the racist attacks. You know, how many times we've been through this? You know what would be great? I've always said this. When a subject comes up, it would be great if you put me in a witness stand and we have an impartial judge sitting there. And if I don't ask your question, the judge says, answer the damn question. And if I don't answer, I got to put $20 in a jar. That's how we ought to play this. And I put your ass in a chair and I ask you a question. If you don't answer it, the judge says, answer his damn question. If you don't do it, you give me $20. We could solve every problem we've ever had on barcop.com if I could force people to answer a goddamn yes or no question. But no, here he talks about particularly the racist attacks. Well, explain to me what a racist attack is. If you say Jesse Jackson won in 1988, that is not a racist attack. And if you want to create a racist attack out of that, well, then I can't stop you. If you say the number 6 is a racist number, how am I going to stop you? If you say green lights are racist, how am I going to stop you? I can't stop you from doing that. So if Bill Clinton says Jesse Jackson also won here, and you can't explain how that's a racist statement, maybe it's because it isn't. And when Hillary said it took a president to get legislation passed, that was not a slam at Martin Luther King, and everybody knows it, but the people who claim that are playing the race game. Jesus Christ, if I say, Roberto Clemente was a good outfielder. Am I playing the race card? No, he was a goddamn good outfielder. He might have been the best baseball player that ever lived. Oh, I guess that's a racial statement, too, because he was black. It doesn't work that way. In the racist attacks that the Clintons put on the poor little Obama fellow, they were not inadvertent. They meant to do it. If anybody could explain themselves, I would, you know, I don't have money, but I would hand you $20 every time you can straighten me out. I promise. Anybody want to drive or fly to Tulsa, Oklahoma and put me in a witness chair and we'll film it and we'll tape it and we'll have judges, we'll have a jury, and we'll see who gets the most out of the other guy. I'll get in a witness chair, then you get your ass in a witness chair. We'll see who wins. I'll let you pick the judges. I got a whole bunch of mail here. We're two sentences into the first one. It's going to be one of them 9-hour shows. I'm in the mood for it. How about you? At the time, I justified it as nicer than what BHO, I guess that would be the fresh-faced newcomer, at the time I justified it as nicer than what Obama would face against the slime machine in the fall. She was a fighter and we need that. Oh, okay, I get what he's saying. So it's okay to be racist a little bit since the Republicans are going to be more racist. I see that reasoning, but you have to start out with some racism to make that sentence true. And so far, nobody... It's easy to say, oh, those racist Clintons, but until you can say, this is racist and here's why, and I don't care if you're black. If you're black and you say, it just is, well, that don't make it so. I can't see what you're seeing since I'm white, but if you can't explain yourself, there's a chance it's because you're not right. Okay, but she has gone way too far past the point I will never, what? She has gone way too far past the point I will forgive her for. He's rhyming. The 3 a.m. ad was just over the edge slightly. No, that was a damn good ad. And I don't care if it's 200 years old and been used by 600 presidents. I just don't care. The point is, will a fancy speech do you any good when you get a call in the middle of the night saying, whatever, Russia's invaded France? If you stand up and say, oh, hope and inspiration will save the day. Well, no, you're going to need some hard-ass decisions that may involve people dying and a whole lot of stuff, so I'd rather have someone in there with experience rather than the fresh-faced newcomer, and I'm sorry. The photoshopping Obama's image to make his skin darker and his nose broader pushed me forever against her, but she has gone even farther. Now, whoa, whoa, whoa. The loyalty level of Democrats never ceases to amaze me, because it is either -1 or 0, I forget. But some guy, I've got it on the page, it's not up yet. By the time you hear this, it'll be on probably the Friday page, my best guess. But some guy named Canterbury or something put up a picture that he says was the original. Then he put a picture up that he says he makes a claim. Now see, in America, you make a claim and it's true. That pisses me off. And another sidebar here. You know, if you go back and read 2,100 pages of BarkCop.com, you're going to see I always demand the facts. That's why I thought Scott Peterson was innocent. That's why I thought, well, I don't know, you just go back and through and look at the list. You know, the times that I fought for the what you said was the crazy point of view. Well, no, all I've ever done is demand some proof. If you're going to put a needle on some guy's arm, could we have a little bit more than he said he was going boating and he went golfing or the other way around? That's not an excuse to murder a man. But back to this deal with the broader nose. This guy puts up a picture he says he got from Hillary's page. Then he puts up what he said was the original. And case closed. And my point is, well, dude, if you got this picture from Hillary's site, why don't you give us a goddamn link to the goddamn picture? And if it's there, even if they took it down, aren't there black holes or bunny holes or Google holes or something that apparently archive everything. So if it ever existed, I think some Hillary-hating, Obama-loving guy would sit there for hours or days, whatever it took, to find the picture, and then you put it up, and you say, okay, here's proof that she's a racist. But even then, by the time you read this, you go back to last Friday's page, you're going to see, tell you what, do this right now. You're probably at your computer. Go to Google, put Barack Obama, and then click on it, and then the options come up, and the upper left hit images, or pictures, whatever it is, and on the first page, you're going to see three pictures of Obama standing at a lectern, pointing his right hand up, like towards, not the sky, but kind of upper right field kind of deal, and in those three pictures, he's got three different hues of color. Now, I guess this is a racial statement to say, but sometimes black people photograph differently. Oh, what is this story? I think we saw a movie, might have been a big movie, maybe it was one you saw lately, where someone said he was a black guy. And the other person said, well, was he Halle Berry black or was he, whatever, Eddie Murphy black? And they argued about which one was blacker. Well, me and Mrs. Bart couldn't agree. I thought Halle Berry was the lighter skinned of the two. She thought Halle Berry was the darker skinned of the two. And, you know, but then there's this other thing where if you go to that Google page and the same picture, I don't know enough about photography, but if you run it through maybe a higher silver solution, wild guess, maybe it comes out, you know, maybe if you don't have enough money, you don't get the true color. And if you got all the money in the world, you get the true color exactly. And so if a rich man and a poor man take the same picture, they're going to get different colors of Obama. But on this picture I put up on last Friday's page, a guy apparently walked up in front, you know, you ever been to a show or something when a photographer runs up the stage, takes 3, 4, 5 pictures and leaves. That's a good idea because you got to get some close-up pictures, but you don't want some idiot up there snap, snap, snap all through the guy's speech or all through the song or whatever. But that's what this guy apparently did. He went up there, snap, 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 got him 3 pictures of Obama, and these pictures apparently taken seconds apart show Obama with different hues, H-U-E-S. But, you know, sidebar to all this, yes, there are some people who will take a picture of a black man and darken it. We've seen that, you know, they did with Willie Horton and whoever else in the past, and I'm not saying that people who darken photographs are innocent. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying if you're going to accuse Hillary of it, you better be damn sure. Oh, and the worst part of all this is this Canterbury guy who maybe he's the number one guy of all time. I just never heard of him. But when he put this up, immediately Kaz and Rush both linked to it. Here's proof. Hillary the racist. You got it from Kaz. You got it from Rush. What two more dependable, honest, straight down the middle guys could you ever hear from in your whole life if you're going to need two judges on some really serious accounts, like is your next president a racist? All you have to do is go to Kaz and Rush. The two of them will give you their honest opinion, and they never lie. They're not prejudiced, et cetera, et cetera. So now we're in the second paragraph of the first letter, and we've got 10, 12 letters to go. It's going to be a 44-hour show. I hope you got someone to watch the kids. So anyway, you go back to last Friday's page and look at that. And if I'm wrong, straighten me out. That's all I'm saying. If I make a case, it's not because I'm a racist, but I'm asking you to straighten me out if I say something and you say, no, that's not right, and here's why. But don't start off with, you lying motherfucker. Now you start off with that. Now you're monkey mail. Now I got to slap you down. I either got to take that out of the mail and have you say, oh, Bart, he doctored my mail. Or I leave it in there. And if you call me a motherfucker in front of whatever a million witnesses, now I got to slap you. Now you must fall. Now we don't have an argument. Now we got me against you. And trust me, I can do a better job insulting you than you can do insulting me. So don't start out that way. You always start out nice. I was a bill collector for, whatever, 10 years. And you start out, you don't call and say, hey, Mr. Johnson, you piece of shit, where's my payment? No, you don't do that. You start out and say, hello, Mr. Johnson, how's your day going? How's everything going, dude? Are you having a good afternoon, everything? I was just curious. I'll bet you mailed that check, but somehow it didn't make it in. I just wanted to double check. Did you have a stamp or, you know, that's how you start out. You don't start out with, you stupid motherfucker. Okay. The 3 a.m. ad was over the edge slightly, which it wasn't. The photoshopping his image to make it darker pushed him too far. But for her to suggest that McBush is more qualified than Obama is obscene. Now, you're wrong again. Big surprise. Surprise, surprise, surprise. You're wrong again. She didn't say he was more qualified. She said that McCain's been in Washington 20-something years, so he has experience. How are you going to say the man doesn't have experience? You can say he's a loon. You can say he's a right-wing, crazy, warmongering, idiotic bastard. You can say 1,000 things, but how are you going to call him a man with no experience? Same with Hillary. She's been in Washington since, say, 92, so we got, 18, 16 years, something like that. It's hard to say Hillary has no experience. No one ever heard of Obama till he gave a speech in 2004. You don't have as much experience as the people that have been there for a couple of decades. That's a fact. If you want to say, how dare she slur the brother and praise McBush, well, you can make up any shit you want, but she didn't say that. That's a lot like when people quote me. They say, Bart, how dare you say Osama's a stupid nigger? Well, I never said that. I never said that once. You said that. You said I said that, and it never happened. If you're going to attack me for something I said, quote me. Everything I've ever written is still up. I don't know if other artists, I don't know if other websites do this, but I don't know. Can you go to Kaz and get 5, 10 years of stuff? Can you go to BuzzFlash or Consortium. Can you go anywhere else on the internet and get 5 or 10 or 15 years worth of every, I'm talking about every word of every issue? People write to me and say, Bart, take that down. And I won't take it down, because if I wrote it, even if it's wrong, I want my wrongness to be up there so you can judge how often I'm right and how often I'm wrong. Nobody's perfect. If I get it wrong a couple of times, well, look at the 98 where I got it right. I say what I mean. I don't pull a lot of punches. And Hillary is the opposite. Every word out of her mouth, she knows, is going to be scrutinized by 500 people. They're going to, or 1,000, 1,500. They're going to take it apart and run it through the machine and do it backwards and do it forwards and run it in different languages. And, you know, they're going to do everything they can trying to manufacture something and put the words in her mouth. And this guy said to suggest that Bush is more qualified. She never said that. She said he's got more experience than Obama. How are you going to argue with that? Paragraph 3. She has assembled a team of people that exhibit all the worst of the DLC and a long list of losing campaigns. Well, hey, guess what, Froggy? Outside of her husband, there's never been a winner. Well, I'm sorry, Carter backed into it because people wanted to punish Ford for pardoning Nixon. So, yeah, I admit, Carter has won an election. But he won it accidentally. He won it by default. He won it because the other guy didn't show up. You know, if you're in some football game or basketball game and the other team doesn't show up, you might get a W behind your name, but that doesn't mean you kicked the other guy's ass. So as far as her having a team of people exhibit all the worst of the DLC and a long list of loser campaigns, hey, she has to choose losers because she's got to choose some Democratic pool. And as far as the DLC, you know, again, let's put me and you in a witness chair and let's argue about the DLC. I don't know enough about them to really make a case, but I know they've produced the only back-to-back winner we've had since fucking Roosevelt in the 40s. Doesn't that count at all? I should have my little blood pressure thing hooked up. They have run a horrible campaign based on privilege and bluster. Well, I believe they might call that an assertion. I'm not real happy with their campaign myself. I think I could do it better. Now and then you see some say, why'd they do that? But, you know, have you ever seen these lists that come out? They say, oh, she was great with older women, but not older women that are black. But she's okay with older women that are black with a college education, but not older women who are black with a college education below the Mason-Dixon line. Now, if you want to spend all your eternity, if you want to spend your one life on this planet going over actuary tables of a billion possibilities of how every voter might vote because of their age and their sex and their location and their education, 1,500 different other factors, fine. I could contribute to a campaign because I never could run one. I could never tell someone, well, in Ohio, you got to say this. And in Minnesota, you got to say that. I mean, I couldn't do it. So it's hard for me to specifically attack what they're doing. You don't like her campaign. I'm not super happy with it. If things were a little different, she'd be way ahead. And we'll talk about that here maybe as we go on. Hillary has reinforced thug-looking talking points in ways I can't accept from any Dem. Well, dude, I think she has reinforced re-thug-looking talking points in ways you can't explain. Because just to say she reinforced re-thug-looking, fuck, that's hard. Can't you write words that are easier for me to pronounce? Okay, here we got some positive closing here. Bart, I love you like a brother. And yes, it's true, brothers fight. I have been visiting your treehouse since very early in the Lion Nazi Horde days and appreciate your efforts, particularly when it seemed like you alone stood against those bastards. Well, sometimes when you're right, you have to stand alone. I can make a list, you know. There was the torture. There was the Mother Mary made of shit that I said was a really bad idea. And people, oh, Bart, you don't understand art. Well, I understand shit, okay? And, you know, whatever, the troops being better than Osama. I remember that was my first losing debate. I mean, there's a whole lot of times when I had to stand by myself, and it's not easy sometimes, but funny when I'm standing by myself now, you know, what is it? The Daily Howler and BarkUp.com and a couple of smaller sites are for Hillary. Every other goddamn website on the whole internet hates Hillary's guts. They're proud of it. They would gladly stand on the grave and pee all over it, take a dump on the tombstone. They're just so eager to do it. These are Democrats willing to do this to the team that delivered the only victory since World War II. But any chance anyone gets to stick a shiv in the Clintons, they take it because they know there'll be big rewards. Gee, I wonder what kind of car Bob Perry's driving today. I wonder how many horsepower the brand new Vets get on the road there. When you stood alone against those bastards, I understand your support for Hillary and very much admire your attempts at keeping her bridge between the camps. Yeah, and hey, I'm going to toot my own horn, because like Rush says, if I don't do it, who else will? I was the first guy to say, we need to avoid this war and we need to end this war. Hadn't heard anybody else say. I heard Randy say it Wednesday, the day after Hillary won Ohio and Texas. Now, see, that's another thing. When Obama got way, way, way ahead, everybody said, Bart, you're right. We should get behind the front runner. And that pissed me off, because when we had a clear front runner by 20 points, nobody would say that. Nobody, nobody, nobody on the entire internet said, let's get behind the front runner when it was Hillary. As soon as Obama took over, everybody agreed. Yes, Bart's right. Get behind. And I've been screamed at again and again. Whatever, this is March 5th or 6th. For the last 3-4 weeks, I've got, I guarantee you, 100 emails. Bart, you lying bastard. You said you'd get behind the front runner, and now Obama's won a couple of primaries. You're not behind him, so that makes you a liar. Well, no. I'm going to get behind the front runner, and I'm going to get behind the nominee. And when I was all alone when it was Hillary. And so I feel a little stupid jumping on the bandwagon when it's, you know, the weather vane's blowing left and right. You want me to jump every time a gust of wind comes by? I'm not going to do it. And as far as keeping a bridge between the camps, the worst thing I've said about Obama is he's a fresh-faced newcomer, and he's silver-tongued or something like that. He gives good speech. If that's a condemnation, then yeah, lock me up and take me to jail. But on the other side, do you want to give me a nickel every time I hear kill the bitch, and I'll give you $100 for every time I said anything bad about Obama? You want to gamble? You want to get $1,000 and come to Tulsa, and we'll sit here at my computer and we'll go around the internet, and you get your money out, and every time I point 20 slurs against Hillary, you give me a buck. Every time I said something bad about Obama, I'll give you $100 bill. Now, who's a gambler out there? Anybody want to gamble? Blood pressure 210 over 160. But the time has come for us to admit that Hillary is a major disappointment as a candidate, a liability to the party, and aiding the McBush effort in the fall. Well, the time has come for us to admit that some of us aren't thinking clearly. Let's see if we can do any better in letter two. Okay, now here comes this bit from an Obama speech. I thought it was longer than it is. It's only about 2 minutes long, so I think you can take it. If you love Obama or if you hate Obama, I think you've got 2 minutes that you can listen to this. And I give you my word, this is unedited. The only edits are when I butt in. But this is unedited. It's exactly how I found it. I didn't add anything to it. I didn't cut any part out. I didn't wait to start recording until, you know, after he said all the good stuff. This is exactly what he said. And I want you to tell me if this is what you see as a commander-in-chief. Picture this guy answering the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning, like Hillary said. There's a chance that that ad about the phone call turned this election around. But just keep that in your mind when you listen to Obama's words here.
We cannot wait to bring back good jobs at good wages. We cannot wait to give our young people an opportunity to live a decent life. We cannot wait to end global warming. We can't wait to clean up Chesapeake Bay. We cannot wait to end this war in Iraq and bring our troops home. We cannot wait.
Now, as you can hear, the crowd is cheering wildly. This is exactly what they want to hear. This is their man in peak form, taking control. But is he saying anything? Has he said a single word since he started?
We cannot wait. And that year ago, when I made that decision, I had concluded that the size of our challenges had outstripped the capacity of a broken and divided politics to solve.
Now, personally, I think that is total bullshit, 100% crapola. It's a thing a politician might say if he wanted to get some people on his side some people that I'm trying to be kind here, but maybe aren't the most sophisticated, politically aware, politically experienced veterans, let's say. You know, if you're a starry-eyed 18, 19-year-old girl, and you know that Bush is a bad guy, and you're tired of being lied to by the president and the vice president and the media, and you've heard the bullshit for 8 years, ever since you've been 10, 11 years old, your commander-in-chief, your president has been nothing but a big fat liar, lying to you right to your face, telling you up is down and left is right and black is white and bad is good and peace is war and all that. If you've heard that all your life, and then this guy comes along and says these words.
A year ago, when I made that decision, I had concluded that the size of our challenges had outstripped the capacity of a broken and divided politics to solve.
Now, I think what he's saying is we need a president who's not going to lie to us and fake a war so he can steal another nation's oil and ruin the economy and kill 4,000 soldiers and maim another 60 or 80,000 on top of that and have these broken soldiers with their broken brains coming home, murdering their families, pushing their girlfriends out of moving cars, blowing up if, you know, if somebody sneezes, they have some kind of flashback thing and they do something destructive. Yeah, I think everybody's tired of that, but the idea that the problems have outstripped the capacity for the blah, 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 blah. Who but a child would fall for that? And if you're 80 and you love Obama, I'm not trying to insult you. I'm just saying he is saying nothing, absolutely nothing. He's saying a bunch of happy, feel-good words. You know, we're tired of the bad stuff. We want the good stuff. We're tired of the evil. We want the charming. You know, it's a bunch of words that say nothing. When someone, you know, he says, yes, we can. If somebody were to say how, what's his answer going to be? Why don't we get the how? He's telling us the what, but not the how. We need to stop this war. You know, it's like you're walking home from school and some 300-pound linebacker jumps on you and starts beating you in the face. Is it going to help to say, we must stop this beating? This beating must come to an end. This beating is long overdue. My face has long outstripped the capacity of your fist to beat whatever. What does it solve to have a high-talking guy just blathering like this? And, you know, perhaps you have a recording capability and can tape Hillary saying something like this. I kind of doubt it because the Hillary speeches I've heard, yeah, they kind of put you to sleep because she's talking wonk stuff. She's talking about how we can do this and here's how we're going to do it. But Obama says we must stop the evil and bring on the good. There's nothing there. Do you see? Can you, the listener, can you write to me and say what is there? And don't tell me he's not the same old. That's not anything. You can't fill a balloon up with not, that's not the same old. You can't do anything by saying, here's what I'm not. Can anybody tell me what he is? And another thing that's sad, but I have to say it sometimes, so I might as well say it now. There are going to be people listening to what I'm saying right now, and they're going to write to me and say, oh, you race monger. Oh, I listened to you for 125 shows. I read your page for 15, no, I read your page for 12 years, and I didn't realize what a racist bastard you are, Bart. I can't believe you would attack the black man this way. How dare you insult all black people, all minorities, all people of color? How dare you? But there's just nothing there. I'm asking you to show me what is there, and if your answer is you're a racist, that proves my point. I'm begging somebody. Shut me up. Explain it to me. Straighten me out. Tell me what's there. And, you know, it doesn't count to say, well, what's there with Hillary? No, that doesn't count. You know, the Obama people are sick to death of Hillary. They've had Hillary shoved down their throats in their minds for, you know, the Clintons and the Bushes somehow, you know, as a team have teamed up to steal your vote. You know, that's the crap we get. But none of that's true. This idea about Bush, Clinton, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Clinton for 700 years is not what we're going to take anymore. Well, see, that's all crap. You had a bad bastard ruin the economy and fuck up bad. Clinton came in and straightened it out, gave us peace and prosperity. I heard, it might be in one of these letters. This guy writes me, oh, yeah, Bart, we're all impressed with your peace and prosperity. Yeah, we're all real impressed. Well, yeah, if you're not impressed with peace and prosperity, You're just crazy. No wonder you're voting for Obama or McCain. If peace and prosperity mean nothing to you, what are you doing here? What are you doing in politics? If you don't like peace and prosperity, you must like war, death, and recession. That makes you crazy. That doesn't make me a racist. That makes you nuts. So I'm challenging you here. Find me some tape of Obama saying something and don't send me a link. A link doesn't count. I want to hear it from his mouth. The idea that whenever you ask Obama a question, it's all on the website. Yeah, right. I could explain rocket science if all I had to say was, hey, it's on the NASA website. Vote for Bart. It just doesn't count. All right, back to the big speech.
And I was betting on the fact that Americans were hungry for a new kind of politics, hungry for something different.
Pardon me for saying this, but there he goes again. We're tired of being lied to by Bush. That doesn't mean we need to throw away our political system and elect a new guy who says nothing but, are we going to do it? We're going to change things. Are you with me? We're going to have a new tomorrow. Are you with me? And I think this came up once on the page, but you know, Oprah's got this really creepy thing. It's on XM Radio. I don't know if you are aware of it or whatever. I don't know if she talks about it on the show. I don't watch Oprah. If she's got a hell of a guest on, I might. But, you know, I don't know if Oprah's whatever about Oprah. But on the XM Radio, Oprah says, join me on the XM Radio where we move into a new world. Join me in the new world where things are different and things are better. And it's, oh, God, that's creepy. And I'm not suggesting that Obama and Oprah have some weird thing going on. And I don't mean sexually. I mean, if one super, super, super rich, crazy woman and a politician of great oratorical skills get together and promise this new shiny thing that's behind the curtain, all you got to do is vote for him and see. Well, that makes me a little suspicious. You know, I'm old. I've seen everything. I've seen it all. And I've been a bit of a hustler in my life. I know what a con game looks like. I know what a shell game looks like. I know what a sales pitch looks like. I know when a salesman tells you, you know, the fine print. I'm pretty good at the fine print when they say, here's what we're going to do. You know, you know how it works. Someone yesterday, click on this website and we guarantee you a free Xbox. Guaranteed. And then they quote, oh, Bob in Ohio said, oh, hey, I couldn't believe how quick the Xbox showed up. Well, see, that's all a hand job. And when you're a kid, maybe never told this story before, but when I was a kid, I was in my 20s or something, and I had some money in my pocket, and I went to the state fair with Mrs. Bart, and I fell for one of those things where, you know, like you need 200 points and you win a TV. And my first dart was 100 points. And I thought, shit, I'm a dart away from a free TV, you know, whatever it costs, $2-3 to play. And I got 100 points on my first dart. And the TV, brand new color TV, is one more dart away. So I bought three more darts, and damn, if the next one wasn't 50 points, and the next one was, well, maybe miss the next one, maybe miss the next two, but I got 150 points, I'm a dart away. And so I bought some more chances, and then here I'm up to 175, and I had, you know, it kept kind of slipping away from me, and pretty soon I got 60, 80 bucks in this, and I'm at 179 and a half points kind of thing. And, you know, after a while, it dawned on me, I've given this guy $150, I ain't getting a TV. You know, here, I've done fallen for it. And that's because I was young. I was stupid. I hadn't seen this con game before. It was my first time at the con game, roughly. But I shouldn't have fallen for that. I felt stupid that I did. But I think that's, and I'm not calling Obama a crook. I'm just saying he's promising us this grand thing that's just around the corner. And all he needs is your vote and the power of the United States federal government. In other words, if we make him the most powerful man on the planet, then he's going to explain to us what's behind door number two. And I'm asking to see it now. And he's saying, my ability to show you what's behind the curtain is outstripped by my capacity to, I hear you talking, but show me something. And when Hillary talks, she puts you to sleep with her explanation. It's like, oh, not again. Remember how Bill was? Say, Bill, how are you going to solve this? Well, I have a 19-point plan. And then he would go through the 19 points. It's like, hey, fuck it. I'd rather watch Oprah. I mean, I understand that, but, you know, this is real life here. This is real problems. The next president's going to decide a lot of things that affect your life. And wouldn't you rather hear it from somebody who can tell you before you vote for him what's behind door number two? And of course, he's right when he says we're tired of what we have. Yes, everybody is, even the Republicans. Hell, over a year ago, Ann Coulter said we're all tired of the dumbass, or whatever her exact words were. She might have called him a simpleton or a moron or something, but she said, yeah, trust me, we're all tired of him. So here we are a year later, Obama telling us, I sense there's a hunger in the nation that the people are tired of. Yeah, we are, but, and that's true. The lie is that there's only one person that can deliver us from the lies of George Bush. That's not true, sir. There are any of the Democrats that were on the stage, you know, the last whatever six that were left standing, any of them would be a 10 times improvement over honesty and integrity and intelligence and less warmongering and all that than Bush.
That they were tired of a politics that was all about tearing each other down and were more interested in the politics of lifting the country up.
Seriously, he said that? The man who made the Clintons racists says that he's got a new kind of politics that doesn't involve tearing the other guy down? Well, Brock, got a little thunderbolt for you. About 90 days ago, it was going to be Hillary against whoever the bad guy was, and you stepped up and said, oh, no, no, we can't have that. And it turned out that the Clintons were racists who mismanaged it. Hillary didn't have the brains to understand the war the way you did, and how can we send the same people back to do the same bad job? And I don't know. And you're saying you're the guy who doesn't tear the other person down. Interesting. You're all about building the country up. Is that right? And you're not at all about tearing the other guy down. Interesting. You know, I'm 54. In my lifetime, I can't name another Democratic politician who won the nomination for the presidency by making the other guy out to be a racist. Maybe it's happened and it slipped off my radar, but this is the first time in memory, and I'm old, that I've ever seen it happen. And you're the guy who's all about building the country up, and you're tired of the kind of politics that tears the other guy down. Interesting. I might go so far as to say, damn interesting. And I might go so far as to say, goddamn interesting that you're not into that kind of politics now that the Clintons are racist and bad bus drivers and too caught up in their own hubris or whatever to understand that that the war was a bad thing and you, without a vote, knew it was all, you know. Isn't that amazing that you're the guy who doesn't do that? Is that what you're telling us, Brock, that you don't tear the other guy down, you just build the country up? Interesting.
The people were tired of being tricked and bamboozled.
I see, and you're going to talk to us straight. You're not going to lie like the others. You're going to lay out the facts on the table in the sunlight with plenty of air so we can all see plainly and clearly in the light of day what our choices are. Is that what you're saying, Mr. Obama? Interesting.
And fooled and hoodwinked. You remember that, being hoodwinked? They wanted some straight talk from their elected officials, some honesty from their elected officials. They're tired of spin and PR. They want common sense.
So from you, we're not getting spin. From you, we're not getting PR. From you, we're getting common sense. Well, I have a question. Could we get some specifics to go with the common sense? I mean, it's so easy to say, the other guy's bad and I'm good, and aren't we all tired of the bad? Well, sure. I mean, couldn't McCain give this same speech? As long as you're not going to mention anything specific, why couldn't McCain say, I'm here to tell you that we're tired of the politics of the past. This is not about tearing down the other guy down. This is about building the country up. Why couldn't McCain give that exact same speech as Obama? If you're not going to say, I'm for this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to take the money from here, and I'm going to cut the money from there, and I'm going to borrow money if I need to put in here, and we're going to qualify this guy, and we're going to tell this guy, sorry, you can't. If you're not going to say anything, then McCain could give this exact same speech. And don't call me a warmonger who likes McCain better than the black guy. No, don't go there. Answer the question. Could McCain give this same speech? So far, every word is a yes. Every word that we've heard so far And if you want, if it'd make you feel better, you can claim that I fabricated this speech, that I somehow put a bunch of, you know, I went through hours and hours of speeches and grabbed all the parts that didn't make any sense and strung them all together. You can say that if you want, but you'd be lying to yourself. I don't even know where this speech is from. It's a while back. About, whatever, 2-3 weeks ago, CNN started doing this thing. Well, we're going to take you right to the rally, and we're not going to butt in, and we're not going to color it, and we're not going to explain what he said. We're just going to let you, we're just going to put the camera on the guy and let him talk. I don't know if they're still doing that. I don't think they are. I watch a lot of CNN, and they were doing it a whole bunch back then. Maybe that's when they thought Obama was going to win, so I'm supporting to hear what they're going to say. But now that Hillary's made such a home run here, maybe it's no longer important that we get into the specifics, but in closing, explain to me, if you like Obama, is there anything in the speech that McCain could not also say? And I guess you could say, well, McCain would be lying and Obama's telling you the truth. But no, we're talking about the power of words. Words seems to be Mr. Obama's strong suit. So if his words can be used by every other candidate, are his words special? Hillary could give the same speech, right? Bush could give the same speech. Why couldn't Bush? Bush did give the same speech in 2000. He said, I'm tired of all the bickering. We're going to change the tone. We got a new politics. Remember, Bush gave the same speech. He said, I'm a uniter, not a divider. We got a divided America. And I want to be president of all the people, not just some of the people. We had the same speech 8 years ago. But the kids that are voting for Obama, maybe 8 years ago, they weren't paying attention. But Obama's younger backers weren't paying a lot of attention 8 years ago. Because if they're 20 now, they were 12 then. Who listens to a speech when they're 12 by some old white guy? Nobody. But if you're 20 years old, this is the first time you've heard this kind of talk. We're going to do it different. We're tired of the bad ways. We're going to do it the good way from now on. This is George Bush's 2000 speech. And if I'm wrong, just show me. Just point it out. You don't have to attack me. Just say, Bart, I think you're wrong, and here's why. A, B, C. Now, do you agree with me, Bart? I've given you three concrete reasons. Do you agree with me or not? Now, that's a good way to argue. But if you say, oh, Bart, you're just a racist prick. Well, yeah, you can say that. You can lie to yourself. I don't mind.
Most of all, I was betting on you. I was betting on you, the American people.
Barack Obama speaking to another packed crowd.
And there CNN ends it. By explaining, oh, the packed crowd is enthralled by the magical words coming from the great orator who didn't say anything the whole time he was speaking. Now, last time, but the second I saw him on TV, I hit record, and you heard every word he said. And I thought it was a lot longer. This turns out it was a minute and a half, 2 minutes, something like that. But, you know, he said, we're tired of the old. We want the new. We're tired of the bad. We want the good. Is that really what you want in a president? Seriously? I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be mean, but isn't that like some third grade level? You know, he's a bad man. You want to stay away from the bad man. Just talk to the good man. You know, that's weird kind of. And then, of course, then CNN closes up. Oh, the crowd. They just love the crowd. Oh, it's Obama. It's a rally. The masses are screaming. Yeah. We know CNN. You want him real bad. All I want is just say something. Give us something specific. Hell, Hillary said she's going to end the war in 60, or Hillary said she's going to start bringing troops home in 60 days. Has Obama said anything like that? I don't think he has. I think he said, we're tired of the war. It's beyond time to bring the troops home. The war is bad. I don't know. Is this the best we got? And I realize you're sitting there, steam coming off your head because I have dared to ask a couple of questions. But you got a chance to make me eat some shit here. Why don't you, anything I've said throughout here, throw back in my face and show me where I'm wrong. Straighten me out. I don't think you can.
It's a frenzy. I struggle with the weight of the chain that it lends me. Oh, pretty little girls in their thieving lips. Yeah, spin me off.
Letter number two, Bart. This is from DWD. I think I remember his name being Derek. Bart, there are two things you said on the March 5th page I wanted to ask about. First, you said, would Obama be a stronger candidate and perhaps the future of our party after getting 4 or 8 years of White House experience the way Al Gore did? And Derek says, how'd that work out for Gore? Now, I've gotten that from several people, maybe a half a dozen, maybe a dozen, and I don't understand that. There seems to be a thinking out there that if you're a vice president, you're guaranteed to lose next time. Well, you might tell that to Poppy Bush, you might tell that to Richard Nixon, but the idea that if you've got experience in the White House, that's a problem for you, to me that just sounds like Obama's propaganda is being taken seriously by somebody, that if you've been there and seen what goes on in Washington, you're unable to decide good things or something. I don't know. To me, I think it's a fraud that Obama says, I was opposed to the war when those other people had the burden of voting their constituents or whatever. Second, in reply to Joe Miller's letter, which I don't remember off the top of my head, but he quotes him, as the recent claim by Hillary that McCain is more prepared to be president than Obama really rubbed me the wrong way. Well, is that what she said? No, I don't remember the exact quote. I thought she was talking about experience. Maybe you changed experience into more prepared, or maybe she said that. I give up. Obama seems to be saying that experience is the thing that gets in your way and becomes a problem if a really serious situation all of a sudden falls into your lap. The last thing you need is any experience. Like, that would be wrong. And these people throw them these bullshit, oh, if your husband's a surgeon, would you let his wife operate on you? Well, no. But didn't you just make the argument right then for experience? I don't think you can have it both ways. Now, you might not agree with my interpretation, but when she says, I've got experience, McCain, oh, now he quotes her exactly. Perfect. That's all I ever ask. If you're going to attack someone for what they said, say what they said. If you want to change what they said or ask a question about it, fine, but say what they said first. Now he's on to something. You might not agree with my interpretation, but when she says, I've got experience, McCain has experience, Obama just has a speech, how am I supposed to interpret it? I suggest you interpret it in the spirit she sent it. She was desperate. But see, that's the big clue. When I say she is desperate, that means it wasn't maybe the best thing to say, but when your back's up against the wall, yeah, you need to fire all your guns. You don't want to be like John Kerry and have $16 million in your fucking account when you withdraw from the race. The son of a bitch had $16 million. That's where I remember it. Maybe it was $5 million or it was something, but to lose by a whisker and to have millions and millions and millions of dollars still in your war chest, that ought to be a crime. Why isn't John Kerry run out of town on a rail? Why is he up there campaigning with Obama like the two of us know what we're doing? Well, no, you got a quitter loser advising a new guy who's never done it. How is that some remarkable team that we should fear and respect and love and vote for? You got me. But when I said she was desperate, yeah, that meant something. That meant it wasn't maybe the words I would use, but I understand why she said it. Her back was against the wall. She had the option to surrender or fight harder, and she chose to fight harder. It might have worked. That's what I said. Back to Derek. Be honest, if their positions were reversed and Obama made a comment that could be construed as saying that a Republican nominee would make a better president than Clinton, would you not pounce on him for tearing down his party at the expense of his own fortunes? Well, it's hard to say because Obama can't accuse Clinton of having no experience. I mean, he has, stupidly, wrongly. But, you know, to my knowledge, Obama has not accused any Republican of racism. He's accused Bill and Hillary of it, but not any Republican. So can't you turn that argument around and say, isn't Obama hurting his own party? Seems to me he's hurting his own damn self-interest. If he ends up being the nominee, why would he want the racist to campaign for him? That sounds stupid to me. Why would you want the racist that drove the country into a ditch that didn't have the brains to avoid a bloody war? Why would you want that guy to campaign for you? Of course, he's got Kerry, who voted for the bloody war campaigning for him, but that's okay, because Hillary has a vagina and Kerry doesn't, most probably. It's just so crazy. Again, if I had someone sitting in a chair, you know, we could have a blackboard sitting there and say, okay, A, you had to admit number one was wrong. B, you had to admit number two was wrong. And C, you had to admit number three was wrong. You struck out, you got all three wrong. Is that right? Yes or no? And you can say, well, no, no. Or you can say, yeah, you got me. But, you know, when you argue through email or even, you know, on Hannity and Combs or something of people arguing, whenever Hannity finds himself in a corner, he just changes the subject. Well, no, no, no. Objection, Your Honor. Changing the subject. and they slam the gavel down and say, get back to the subject you're on, Mr. Hannity, answer the question, then we'll move on. See, there's a whole big difference between a debate and an argument and a court of law where they can say, stop. Shut your lying trap for a second because you just avoided the answer. The judge is going to make you answer the question. You know, that would solve a whole lot of arguments because so often, as I'm sure you know, we go over the same thing again and again and again and again. But if we could get a definitive answer out of somebody who can speak for the majority, or if you hate Hillary's guts and you point out some wild claim about how she distorted Obama's picture, and I can prove to you that it didn't happen, then the next guy can't bring up the distortion of Obama's picture. Does that make sense to you? Surely it must. Because there's no sense going over that which has been proven wrong again and again. But somehow we do that. And I understand if a guy had, you know, there's a lot of people who pop in, you know, every five issues, they pop in once a week kind of thing, and I understand that. Daily, maybe twice a day, I get, Bart, well, if Obama wins, you're going to campaign for him? You're going to tell him go fuck himself? Well, no, I'm going to campaign for the Democrat. What do you think I'm going to do? I can turn Nazi or go back to the car lot. What do you think I'm going to do? Can you, Derek wants to know, as a Clinton supporter, at least admit that she may have crossed the line with that speech by saying that McCain has more experience than no. That's an honest statement. I'm going to be on the side of honesty. And like I was saying before with the Scott Peterson thing, I'm going to stand for honesty, and I'm going to stand for a little bit of proof. If you're going to accuse somebody, you should have some proof. If you don't have some proof, you don't accuse. You say, I suspect George Bush has built pipelines to take all that oil out of there. You know, I can't prove that we invaded Iraq to steal the oil. Put that on the page for years, I guess, shortly after we invaded to put that up. And in the 4 years, whatever it's been, that's what, 1,500 days? Nobody has written and said, Bart, you're wrong, and here's why. Over the years, we get millions of hits. And if millions of people can't figure out a way to disagree with me, there's a chance I'm right. That's all I'm saying. Derek closes with, it's okay to admit that the people we support are capable of screwing up from time to time. She's not infallible. Signed, all the best, Derek. Fine, I get that. I never said she was infallible. But when you call her a racist, when you say she doctored, not you, Derek, but when they say she's a racist and she doctored the photos and she lied about Obama's experience, no, none of that happened. And I'm going to stay on the side of honesty and demand proof, whoever the attack is from and towards and about, I'm going to be on that same side. Show me where I'm wrong.
I'm bored of cheap and cheerful. I want expensive sadness. Hospital bills, poor roll. Open doors to madness. I want you to be crazy because you're poor, baby, when you're straight. I want you to be crazy because you're stupid, baby, when you're sane. I'm sick of social graces. Show you sharp tips.
Here comes a third piece of mail, and I'm thinking I might throw in a little disclaimer here. Sometimes people write, and I understand. I sometimes write excited, and I sometimes do the radio show excited. And so I understand when people send a letter to me, and they might be a little excited. Maybe not exactly choose all the right words, and such, et cetera. But, you know, part of this, what I'm trying to get at is I don't mean to be extra super tough on somebody who writes to me. But you understand, if every time someone writes me a critical letter, I say, well, you know, jeepers, you might have a point. Let's go to the next letter. Well, you know, that's not entertainment. That's not a radio show. Nobody's going to listen to that. So I just wanted to throw that in there, a little sidebar, that I hope you don't take anything I say about you, you know, personally and viciously and all that. A lot of people, this is something I'm going to try to get on the page here because the Civil War is apparently going on for another 7 weeks. But it would be nice. It's something I always try to say. If a real good friend writes to me and says, you know, Hillary shot Vince Foster in the head, I try not to say you are a stupid, crazy mother effer. I try to say, that's crazy talk. You know, what you said was crazy. You're not crazy. You know, that might be a racist comment, but I'm not calling you a racist. You know, that's what I try to do. I think that's what everybody should try to do. You know, especially when it's friend fighting friend, as we're going to have to be, you know, we're going to have to do that for the next 7 weeks. And a little sidebar there. Well, maybe that'll come up later. I'll forget the sidebar. But as long as Democrats are fighting Democrats, it'd be nice if we could just remember, instead of screaming, you lying piece of shit, how about we scream, I don't believe you, show me a link. Now see how much more elevated that is. I'll get in the gutter with any sumbitch you want to get into the gutter with, and it can be highly entertaining, but not over the years. You can't, knife fight in the gutter every email, every story for years and years and years. So as long as we're having to fight each other, and the other thing is the Rovian, are we all getting a little tired of that? I think that Obama was Rovian when he took the Clintons' greatest strength, arguably, and that was their relationship with the black community, and he poisoned that by saying that the Clintons were racist, and how is a black guy going to tell Barack Obama, the head black fella possibly of all time, if he's going to be the president, he will have been the greatest black man on the planet throughout all of history. Who's going to argue with me on that? So if the greatest black man ever born says the Clintons are racist, that's got to be a fact, right? I think that was Rovian. But now every word out of Hillary's mouth, oh, it's Rovian. And when you've got everyone in the media saying that Hillary and Bill are Rovian and they're, racist bastards and out to ruin America and, shot Vince Foster and MENA airport and the whole riff, you people kill me that half of the Democratic Party has turned into Ken Starr. Does anyone else think that's a little sad? I think it's damn sad. To hear certain websites, not going to mention anyone in particular, I would mention Consortium News if it came up, but I have some friends who run websites that just went crazy, and I'm not trying to pick out anybody, but the idea that, the people who fought impeachment now are saying, yeah, we all know how guilty the Clintons are. That's just crazy, but another story. Okay, letter number three. I guess they're quoting me. See, that's another thing. If someone, when you people write letters, if you'd say, Bart, you said, and then, it just starts out. This morning, Joe, I don't even know the dead girl Scarborough, had Obama on for interview. They were quick to explain Obama's superdelegate lead and to dismiss that he all but lost the day yesterday. This is from Bart Motes, B-A-R-T-M-O-T-E-S. I assume he's quoting something that's on the page. That's another thing. I do a page. And the minute that page is done, say I do the Wednesday page, when I hit send on the Wednesday page, I start on the Thursday page. And then later, 3-4 hours later when I'm working on the Thursday page, I'm getting mail about Tuesday's issue. And then as time goes by, I get mail about the Wednesday issue, and all the time I'm working on the Thursday issue. So when someone says, hey, I agree with Bob, well, sometimes it's hard for a guy with an IQ of 64 to remember which Bob, which show, which day, what he said, I don't know. So, yeah, it would really help when you start your conversation, tell me what universe we're in, tell me what galaxy we're in, tell me what planet we're on, tell me what continent we're on, tell me what state we're in, tell me what city we're in, and then mention the argument. That would help. Bart Mote writes, pal, I guess it would be me, Hillary did lose yesterday. You guys kill me. She took Rhode Island, Ohio, and Texas, and Obama took Vermont, and Obama won. Okay, whatever you say. Let's say you're down by 3 scores. Okay, so we're 3 scores. That's to be a football analogy. Let's say you're down by 3 scores. You have 9 minutes left on the clock. Generously, you have a chance for 3 scores. What happened yesterday was that Clinton scored a field goal, Ohio, and got stuffed, Texas, Rhode Island, and Vermont, or a wash, he says, and only has 3 minutes left on the clock, which is Pennsylvania. Now, hey, I'm all for sports metaphor, but I don't know if you can go this deep on one. I like to say things like, we're at the 2-yard line, let's go ahead and push it in, that kind of thing, or we're in trouble, we might need to punt. I like those kind of metaphors, but I don't know. You get way deep into them, you got to have it in writing, you got to have a diagram. And Obama is driving again. Sounds like a victory. Hillary is Huckabee. All she can do is damage Obama. She can't beat him. She had to win by 20 points yesterday in Ohio and Texas. She couldn't. The game is just about over, says Bart Motes. Well, Bart Motes, I think you're wrong. And I'd like to say for the 500th time, it would be better for me personally if Hillary didn't win. Because anything that goes wrong is going to be Bart's fault. And God forbid Hillary invades the country, I'll lose every subscriber I got. So, yeah, it would be better for me if Obama won. It would be better for the country if Hillary won. But I don't know if you're right here at all, Bart Motes. We won't know until, the convention, maybe, or who knows. If Pennsylvania comes back 51-49 Hillary, I'm sure all the delegates will go to Obama. That's, for some reason, that's how it works. It, you know, Hillary wins the popular vote, Obama gets the delegates. Not sure why it works that way. I don't have the patience or the time to get into all the delegate history and all the rules and how things work like that, but something you people are going to have to get used to, and you're going to have to admit this. It appears today, this is being recorded on a Thursday, that Hillary has Big Mo. And you can claim all you want about the math, but if America sees Hillary with all the momentum, you know that 3 o'clock ad that everybody hated? I think they hated it because it reminded everybody that it's not about a speech. If you're looking to see, if, between the two of them, who makes a better speech? Obama does. If the shit hits the fan, who would you rather make the decision? I would rather be Hillary. If you want to go with Obama, fine. If the country wants to go that way, that's fine with me too. But I think that 3 a.m. ad reminded people that this is not a football game. This is not a speech. This is not beanbag. This is, you know, potentially your lives or your children. And so if Hillary wins Pennsylvania resoundingly, I think the people are going to demand that the superdelegates go with Hillary. Because, you know, people get, you know, something else hadn't said this yet. Obama has America at this fever pitch, this orgasmic pitch right now where, you know, we must live and breathe Obama. Obama is great. And anyone that says he's not is a racist bastard who wants to ruin America. And this is March. He's got to sustain that orgasmic pitch through March, April, May. What if about May, people start getting a little tired of Obama is great? Remember that Tina Fey skit on Saturday Night Live? That apparently did a whole lot of damage, because what she did, Tina Fey, you know, on the opener of Saturday Night Live, she pointed out that the whore media is 1,000% behind Obama. She pointed that out, and everybody said, damn, she might have a point. You know, now that you think about it, they're always asking Hillary the tough questions, and they ask Obama what his favorite color is. And I know that's not quite fair, but that's kind of the argument that, you know, we've been through, we as a nation have been through Hillary's underwear drawer looking for proof of a crime, and we could never find one. And nobody will ask Obama a single question about anything, which is kind of amazing. And so what if Obama, what if he, hell, let's take it a step further. What if he gets the nomination in, say, whatever, say, let's say for argument's sake, he whips up on Hillary in Pennsylvania. Boom. He's the leader. Say it's April 20th, whatever the Pennsylvania primary is. Okay, so Obama's the nominee. And then through May, June, and July, then the press does their job and starts vetting him. And we found out, oh, we got problems here. He took all this money from this Iranian whatever to build his mansion. And then his wife bought the property from the guy who Resco sold it to, and then it went back through this other guy, and then it came, you know, what if all that stuff comes out after he's the nominee? Then what? It might be a bit of a mistake that when Hillary was supposed to be the nominee, I didn't mind that it might be 6, 8, 10 months before the election. But if we get a new guy up there, pardon, but a blank slate who we know nothing about, I don't know enough about Obama to dislike him. All I know is he's a new guy who has a better way. Oh, and I'm going to play a bit of a speech from Obama, and it's going to piss you off. It's going to piss you off royal. This is going to cost me. I give you my word. This is absolutely, completely unplanned. I saw Obama on the TV. I hit record on the computer there, and I got 5 or 10 minutes of a speech, and he didn't say a damn thing in the entire 5 minutes. You, the skeptical listener, are going to accuse me of going through the whole thing and cherry-picking out this little piece. I give you my word, whatever that's worth, that didn't happen. So the minute I saw him, I hit record, and he didn't say a damn thing, but all these words came out. And when you hear these words, I think it'll embarrass you. It embarrassed me. I was embarrassed for Obama, because if he sit, once again, put a guy in that witness chair, put his speech on the board and say, now we're all, the courtroom's going to watch this speech. And he says all the, oh, we need to do this. We need to do that. We need to do this. Are you with me? Yeah. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Are you with me? Yeah. We're going to stop this. We're going to stop that. We're going to stop rain on Mondays. We're going to stop meanness. We're going to stop unfair. Are you with me? Yeah. But what has he said? Meanwhile, Hillary's over here saying, you know, if we cut this by 20% and we go over here and we change the law here to make this go over there, then this other money will come in and we can take that money plus the money we're taking from the super rich and put it in a pile. And now we can create this healthcare thing that translates into your kid having a better life. And to me, That makes a lot more sense. That's what I'd rather vote for than, are we going to stop Rainy Mondays? Yes! Are we going to stop mean people? Yes! Aren't you tired of wrong policies? Yay! I'll tell you, it's going to piss you off when you hear this speech. But hey, you're used to that, aren't you? But to close out the Bart Motes deal, I understand what he says about the football game to a degree. In a football game, when the gun sounds, that game's over. In politics, if it's before the election, it's not over. If they catch Obama in bed with a sheep in September, I got a feeling Hillary's going to be president. I don't know how they're going to do that. If the superdelegates all get back together and reconvene the convention, I don't know how that works. In my memory, that's never happened. Well, it sort of did when Sutwell was the vice president. Let's see, how'd that work? Mondale picked Sergeant Shriver to run as his vice president, and they said Shriver had electric shock treatment, so he had to dump him and get somebody else. I forget who it was now, but yeah, that happened to a vice president. We have not ever had that happen to a president yet, but what if, since we know absolutely nothing, we know zero zip nada about Obama, and if it turns out he's not what he claims he is McCain going to win 50 states, or are we going to put someone else in there? Are we going to, you know, that's how this is different than a football game. A football game, you know, boom, end of the game. Don't know if you remember, if it was last year or 2 years ago, Oklahoma, they just cheated. They were playing Oregon, I think it was. And I don't know if they gave Oregon five downs or they did something. They put the ball on the wrong, you know, it was supposed to be at the 15. They put it on the five. They did something. And Oklahoma had said, hey, hello, we're pointing out to you. Remember, right here's where we were. And the referee says, no, play ball. And after the game was over, they went to the commission of the Pac-12 or something. And they said, yeah, you're right. The referee screwed you. But that cost them an undefeated season. That cost them potentially a national championship, and every person on the field, I guess that wasn't from Oregon, you know, the league and the press and the football people and everybody in the world agreed that Oklahoma got screwed out of that victory. It's a fact that they got screwed out of that victory, but they couldn't do anything about it. You know, see, that's football. But in politics, if we get a whatever, and I don't know that there's bad news about Obama. I'm saying we know nothing about him, nothing. And you can pretend we knew nothing about the Clintons, too, but nobody in history has been more investigated than the Clintons. We kind of know what we got with the Clintons. And if you'd rather go behind whatever's behind door number two, we had victory in our hands. If we want to trade victory in our hands for whatever's behind door number two, I think that's illogical. But if the nation goes for it, hey, at least I'm off the hook for having explained everything to President Clinton does.
A secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, and the baffled king composing hallelujah. Baby, I've been here before. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. You know, I used to live alone before I knew you. And I've seen your flag on the marble arch. And love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah.